Genesis 45. I want you to imagine with me a conversation between Joseph and Asenath, his wife. This is just an imagined conversation that they may have had. Joseph may have said, "My dear Asenath, I'm so excited. My brothers returned, and I plan to forgive them today if they will pass one more test and sacrifice for their brother Benjamin. I'm going to forgive them without any resentment. But Joseph, you told me that your brothers hated you and sold you into slavery, and that Mrs. Potiphar lied about you. You spent years in prison. How can you forgive your brothers for all this trouble they caused you for the last 21 years? Sweetheart, I must forgive them, because God used all that evil that they did to prepare me to become the prime minister of Egypt. Without being sold into slavery, I could never have risen to the position that I am today, to be able to save the lives of thousands of people. Besides, if I had not been sold into slavery and all that evil come upon me, I never would have married you. But aren't you bitter toward those brothers of yours who did all that to you? No. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know, Joseph, I admire your character and your closeness to God and your trust in God's sovereignty. I can see that forgiving them is really the right thing to do. You know, we think about this. Joseph must have talked to Asenath about that. They must have had some conversations about that. I imagine the first time when Joseph saw his brothers, he probably ran home and said, "Sweetheart, guess what? I saw my brothers. They were here. I got to talk to them, but they don't know it was me." And all that time, we don't know how many months elapsed between the first time he saw them until he eventually revealed himself to them in our chapter before this evening. But several months had passed. And Joseph had a lot of time to think about these things. But you know, Joseph gives us a great example of forgiving with no resentment. You know, every one of us here this evening, every single one of us have had times when we need to forgive somebody. And sometimes we've done a better job than others. Sometimes it may have been a big thing we had to forgive. Other times it may have been a small issue, but we still needed to forgive. And we need to learn to forgive without resentment. Because if we can't forgive without resentment, then we really haven't forgiven very much. And so as we look at this tonight, I want us to notice six evidences that Joseph truly forgave his brothers with no resentment. You follow with me as we work our way through this. We see here in verses 1 to 3 that Joseph forgave from his heart. Look at verse number 1. And Joseph could not refrain himself. So he's been talking to his brothers. He could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried and says, "Cause all the men to go out from before me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard him. Joseph hadn't said a word to his brothers yet, but he says, "Everybody out." And everybody left. And Joseph stands there and just starts weeping before them. And they must have thought, "This guy's nuts. Who is this guy? We thought he was going to kill us, and now he's crying. We thought he was going to make us slaves, and he's crying." And then Joseph said in verse 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?" Can you imagine? Can you imagine in your minds the terror that struck through their hearts at that very moment? They had been scared. They were worried. They were troubled. They knew they were in big trouble. They had been accused of stealing this gold, silver cup. They had all this kind of problems, and they knew that they were up to their necks in trouble. And now, to make things 10 times worse, Joseph kicks everybody out, starts crying in front of them, and says, "I am Joseph, your brother." They're going, "You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Joseph, we are in big trouble now. We sold him to slavery the last time we saw him, and now he is the prime minister of Egypt. How could that possibly be?" Joseph revealed his identity, but the first thing he said is, "Is my father still alive?" Is dead still alive? You said he was, but is he really still alive? He was concerned for his father. They didn't know how to answer. The Bible says here that they were troubled. The word means terrified. They were terrified beyond description at seeing Joseph. Because now they realize that Joseph had all the power to do anything he chose to them. He could do anything to them he wanted. He could execute them. He could imprison them. He could take everything they have. He had absolute power over them. And they knew it. And it terrified them. But then notice what else Joseph did. Not only did he reveal himself to his brothers, but he desired to restore closeness. Verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. You can see them. They're standing back in the background, wondering what's going to happen to them when this guy decrees their sentence for what they had done or what they've been accused of. And he says, come near me now. It's me. I'm your brother Joseph. Come here. Come close to me. And so he desired closeness. He desired harmony. And when we truly forgive, there is a desire to restore that oneness. Many of you are married, and when you're married there and you have a little bit of a squabble, the desire is to reunite that closeness again. Come back to what it ought to be again. Be back in that sweet harmony again. And he told them who he was again. And he detailed that only he could have known. You know, you stop and think about that. For him to say, I am Joseph whom you sold into Egypt. Nobody in Egypt knew that but Joseph. Or anybody that Joseph might have told. But when he told them that, it was like, it must be Joseph. Nobody else knew that. We've kept that from Dad. Nobody knows that we did that. That was our secret. I wonder if the boys ever told Benjamin. You know, the older brothers? Benjamin might have been totally ignorant of all this. He may never have known. I mean, he was just a little kid when they sold him, a couple years old. So why would they tell him, we sold your brother into slavery? He might run to Dad and say, Daddy, guess what my big brothers told me? They probably never told Benjamin. And so this whole thing is blowing up in their faces. And now it all comes out in the open. I'm sure that in the minds of those brothers, pictures of Joseph's boyhood dreams now flash in their minds. Joseph had said, I saw in my dream and all of you were bowing down to me. And they said, shut up, little kid. What are you talking about? We're going to bow down to you. Not a chance. We're never going to bow down to you. And now they're bowing down. Remember that when he spoke to these words to them, what were they doing? When they came in to see him, what were they doing? They were flat on their face, prostrate on the floor, flat on their face, bowing down in honor to him. They were terrified out of their wits. And then Joseph says, it is me. I'm your brother. Come close to me. And they were terrified of that thought. And all these thoughts were bowing down to Joseph. And Joseph begging them, please don't sell me. Please don't sell me. All this is ringing in their ears and it's coming back to haunt them. But Joseph desired that closeness. But if we find another aspect of his forgiveness is that he let their sins go. And he offered them comfort. Look at verse number 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He said, brothers, do not be grieved. Do not be angry. It's okay. I forgive you. It's done. God sent me here to preserve life for you. God had it all planned. It's all right. I forgive you. Letting go of the sin, releasing it, releasing them from the guilt is all part of forgiveness. And that's what we need. When we forgive our spouse, we forgive our parent, or we forgive our child, or we forgive our neighbor, or forgive somebody that's been unkind to us, we are releasing them. We're saying it's okay. We're not justifying. Forgiveness is not justifying what was done. Forgiveness is saying, I'm not holding it against you anymore. It's taken care of. I release you of the guilt from that. taken care of. And we'll be dealing with more of the aspects of that when we get to the end. But not only did he let their sin go, but we find that he also did not blame them. We saw here in verse 5 that he said, God sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 6, he says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What a statement. Joseph said, I'm not blaming you guys. God sent me here. 3 times in this section. Did you see that? He said it in verse 5. He said it in verse 7. He said it in verse 8. He said, it was not you. God sent me to Egypt. God sent me to Egypt. It was God that sent me hither so that I could preserve your life. And not only that, but he added to that, and he says there, he said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. Now, what did he mean by that? Father to Pharaoh. Well, as I dug into that a bit, it seems that it's referring to probably the fact that he was an advisor to Pharaoh. He was an advisor. A father gives advice. He was acting like a father to Pharaoh. The king of Egypt. Joseph now, the young man, is now giving advice to the king of Egypt, directing him and guiding him and giving him instruction and things to do. And he says, not only am I a father to Pharaoh, but I'm a lord of all Pharaoh's house. Everything that Pharaoh has is under me. Not only that, but he says, I'm a ruler of all Egypt. Now, why was he telling him all this? I don't think he was saying, listen, brothers, you better bow down real far because I'm in charge. No, I don't think that's what it was at all. He was telling them, don't feel bad. Look what has happened. I was just a farm boy. I was just a little kid. You sold me to Egypt, and now look what's happened. I'm the father of Pharaoh. I'm the ruler of all Pharaoh's house, and I'm the ruler of all of Egypt. God has put me in a huge position of plenty. Don't blame yourself. Don't be grieved. I don't blame you. I'm not mad at you. I forgive you completely. And so forgiveness is not blaming them. Then we find in verse 9 to 13 that he assured them of his love. Verse 9, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, and they, thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see the eyes of my brother, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Now, let's just stop there for a moment. Joseph is sharing his love with them. What is love? Love is not just hugs and kisses. Love is genuinely giving to meet needs of others. And Joseph is saying here, I want you to bring dad and all that you have and all of your families and come down here to Egypt. I will take care of you. There's 5 more years of famine. You'll never make it in Canaan. I will protect you. I will give you everything you need. I will provide for you. God has put me in a position where I am able to do that. That is awesome. And I want you to come down, and I'm sharing my love with you. Now, he has forgiven them. He owed them nothing. He would have been absolutely just in putting them all in prison or make them all slaves. That would have been just. But he didn't give them justice. He forgave them. And he gave them his love. He gave them all these provisions. He said, I want you to bring dad down, and I want you to do this because I care for you. Now, another proof that Joseph was truly Joseph was that he reminded them there in verse number 12. He says, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Remember all these times when he was communicating with him, he was using an interpreter. And now he sent everybody out, and suddenly this guy that couldn't speak any Hebrew was speaking perfect Hebrew. And he was talking to his brothers in their own dialect, not only, you know, in their own little, everybody's got their own little twang. And he talked just like them. He was their brother. He said, it's me. You can see my own voice. I'm talking to you. It is me. I am not deceiving you. And he showed them his love and his compassion. And he ordered them then in verse number 13 to bring dad down. He says, and ye shall tell my father of all the glory of Egypt and of all that I have, you know, ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. So he said, I want you to bring dad and come. And then we find the sixth thing he did. He treated them tenderly. Now, what did he do? Verse number 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Now you stop and think about that. This really kind of intrigues me. Benjamin hadn't seen him. Benjamin wouldn't have been able to spot him in a anywhere. Benjamin didn't know him, period. You know, no two-year-old kid's going to remember what their brother looked like or what he was like 21 years later. He never saw him. So Benjamin didn't know who he was, but as soon as he heard, I am your brother. I am Joseph, your full-blood brother. And he falls on Benjamin's neck and he weeps over Benjamin, and Benjamin's crying too. They're just having a good old crying time. And then after he's done crying on Benjamin, he goes to his other brothers. Those that hated him, those that had sold him, those that had done unkind things to him, and each one of them, he hugged them and kissed them and wept on their shoulders. It was a great family reunion. One of the greatest family reunions you ever find in the Bible. And then it says that they, verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and he wept on them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. I highlighted that in my Bible. After that, his brother talked with him. You can imagine they had a good long talk. Tell me everything that's been happening. What's happening back home? What? How many cattle you got? How many sheep you got? What's happening? How big is your property now? You know, are you still living in the same spot? Have you moved anywhere? You know, what's going on? What about the neighbors? Everything. 21 years of information. And then they'd say, well, all right, Joseph, what's been happening to you? Oh, I don't know if you want to hear all that. I worked as a slave for many years and then I got framed and sent to prison for something I didn't do. And I spent a good many years in prison. And you know, you can see my ankles, my wrists, all these scars. That's from prison. All the chains I had on. It was not easy. But then Pharaoh had a dream. And I was called to interpret his dream. And I interpreted his dream for him. And he made me prime minister of Egypt just like that. God is so good. And so they're sharing their stories with each other. It was an exciting, exciting time that afternoon as they opened up to each other. But it was all possible only for one reason. Joseph forgave them. If he had not forgiven them, none of that would have happened. He forgave them. Now, let's review again how he forgave them. He forgave them from his heart. He forgave them and desired to restore closeness. He let go their sins and offered them comfort. He did not blame them. He assured them of his love and he treated them with tenderness. How was Joseph able to do that? You know, that's a good question. Sometimes people that have been through some really, really hard times and had people that have treated them like dirt have a really hard time forgiving. How would Joseph be able to forgive? I mean, you stop and think about that. You put that in our type of a culture today. I mean, his brothers were as cruel to him as possible. Actually sold him. I don't know how you can kind of equate that to something today. I mean, you can't really do that kind of a thing. But they sold him. They treated him terribly bad, but yet he was able to forgive. How? Well, I believe, first of all, it's obvious that Joseph walked with God. Joseph walked with God. That was the key of it all. All through those times, all those years as a slave, and all those years as a prisoner, Joseph walked with God. And now that he's the prime minister, he's still walking with God. God was close to him. And one of the main reasons I believe that Christians struggle to forgive is because they do not themselves walk close to God. You're not going to want to forgive if you're not close to God. If God hasn't forgiven you and given you peace, you're not going to want to offer it to anybody else, especially somebody that's been unkind to you. But not only did he walk close to God, but he also trusted God's sovereignty. He trusted God's sovereignty, and he was able to say to his brothers, God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. God had me come so I could protect you, so I could give you life, so I could bring you down here and watch over you and provide for you. God did that. I had nothing. I spent all those years in prison. I had absolutely nothing. I owned zero, nothing. And now I am the prime minister. I have everything I've dreamed of. I've got riches. I've got a wife. I've got children. I've got a palace to live in. I've got everything I need. God has been so good to me. And he saw God's sovereignty in all of that. God was in control. Now, how can we practice this kind of forgiveness ourselves? Well, first of all, we need to maintain that close walk with God. It won't happen unless we do. Got to have that close walk with God. And we need God's grace to forgive without resentment. We need God's help. You know, if you've been hurt by someone very severely, you're going to need God's help to forgive. It's not easy. It's not a human thing to say, I want to forgive those people who are so cruel and mean to me. That's hard. But yet, with God's help, we can. So we need God's grace. We too need to learn to trust God explicitly. This rests on our close walk with the Lord. But you know, another thing that I'm learning, and I'm working at it, I haven't conquered it, but we need to daily seek to know God better. The more we know God, the closer we know God, the more we know about Him, not just information, not just be able to rattle off, yes, God is omnipotent and He's omniscient and He's omnipresent and He, you know, His attributes, but to know Him, to know His character, to know how He reacts and how He responds, and to see God every page of the Bible. Look for God as you're reading your Bible. Look, don't just read the pages and say, yeah, I've read my little chapter today. But look for God. What is it saying about God there? And oh, how we need to do that. I need to do that. To get to know God better so that we would fully trust Him. And you stop and think about it. There's people in your life that in one time or another that you truly trusted completely. And those were the people that you knew well. I think back of my dad, you know. When I was that little boy, I trusted Dad completely. We could walk through the scary places on our farm, never fear a bit as long as Dad was close. But if Dad said, you go off and do this by yourself, Dad, I'm scared. But if Dad's there, no worry. Fully trusted. And you know, that's the way it ought to be with us and God. Where God said, I'm there with you. I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. And then we need to let God break the offender. You know, Joseph, during this whole time, God was using Joseph in the lives of his brothers to break them, to test them. Remember, he talked harshly to them at the start and accused them of being spies, and then put them in prison for a little while, and then sent them off and kept Simeon locked up. And all that time they were gone, you know, he'd put the money back in their bags, all those tests that we looked at another week ago. And he put all those things on them. Why? To break them, to help them to come to the place where they need to do right. And you know, there's that little passage when God tells us how we're to deal with that in Matthew chapter 18, 15 to 17, where he says there that if someone's offended us, we are to go to the one who offended us and say, listen, you did this or said this and that hurt me, and we need to have a talk about that. We're not very good about that. That's not easy. That's hard. You know, even with someone we truly love, to go to my wife, if she said or done something that wasn't just right, it's not easy to go and say, sweetheart, listen, we need to have a talk. What you said really bothered me. That's not easy. It's far easier to just say, well, I'm just going to forget it and not worry about it. That's not God's way. God's way is to address it and say, we need to have a talk. Let's get it out in the open. Let's work through this. Let's resolve it. That leads to forgiveness. And that's tough, but that's what we need to do. We can't force the offender, however, to admit his fault. Can't force him to do that. And Joseph waited for God to break the hearts of his brothers. And once he knew that they genuinely were changed. Once he knew that they would genuinely take care of and defend Benjamin, then he said, okay, they passed the test. They are not going to turn their back on Benjamin. They have genuinely changed. They're not the same guys they used to be. And Joseph then was able to draw close to them and forgive. Now, we ought to pray to the end that they, the person who's offended us, hurt us in some way, will come and get it right. We need to pray to that end that God will convict them. That's one thing we can do. But when the offender will not confess his wrong, then what are we supposed to do? You know, sometimes people are like that. Say, I didn't do anything. Get out of here. I don't want to know about it. And they really, truly won't confess. What are we supposed to do then? Well, we may still forgive in part. We must still forgive in our heart. You know, to say, you know, I genuinely am going to forgive that person even though they refuse to admit they did anything wrong. I know they did, but I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm going to forgive them from the heart. I'm going to let that sin go so I don't become bitter. And then we need to leave it in God's hand and not blame them. Now, those things are things that we can do even if the person will not admit their guilt. We may not be able to restore closeness or comfort or assure them of our love or show tenderness to them until they do admit it. But we can at least do our part and we forgive that first part. You know, when the offender does confess his wrong, then we need to forgive like Joseph with no resentment. This is possible if we're right with God and we trust Him fully. And true forgiveness will always be without resentment. If we say, I forgive them, but I'm still irritated because of what they did, we haven't really forgiven them. True forgiveness lets go of the resentment. There's no bitterness. But if there's bitterness and resentment there, then we haven't truly forgiven yet. Joseph did not forget the pain and suffering his brothers caused him. He couldn't forget that. He knew that. But he did not dwell on it. He let it go. And he truly forgave. Forgiving a severe offense is going to be difficult. But with God's grace, we can do it. In fact, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, we must do it. We must. He said there in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We don't have a choice. We've got to forgive. It's the right thing to do. It's the only thing to do. We may not be able to restore the sweet fellowship again if they won't confess. But we can at least forgive from our heart and get it off of our heart and no more bitterness, no more resentment, and we can let it go. It'll cleanse our heart and give us peace, and that's what God wants us to do. So, in this sinful world, we cannot escape being hurt by others. There's no question about that. You're going to get hurt. And if you haven't been hurt recently, you will be. Because that's part of life. But we cannot and must not let that go without dealing with it. We have to make a definite choice every time to forgive without resentment. No matter whether it's our spouse, whether it's our sibling, our neighbor, a friend at school, a friend at work, somebody we don't even really like, we need to forgive. And if God brings to your mind someone with whom you must forgive, don't put it off. Deal with it this evening and let God have His way. And let Him give you your peace.